Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, Composed with Love by my nephew, Miles Sebastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, a lesbian, and an entrepreneur, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Hi, Nicole. How's your week going?
Hey, Cindy, my week is going okay, and how is yours?
Good, and I heard that you have a little bit of vertigo from your car accident. And
Yeah, that's very, very lovely. You know, I think I would be a lot better off if, like, my symptoms didn't constantly move and change, but I guess as everything is going back to where they're supposed to be, you know, since I did get a little banged up there, you know, like, one day, like I've got, you know, something pressing on my nerve, and my arm is, like, almost dead, and I can't feel a couple of fingers, and then I wake up the next morning, and then it's my foot, and then I wake up the next, you know, morning, and it's my back. I'm like, it's always something new. And then the most recent thing is I have a very, very low, thank God, but I've got a slight case of vertigo. So, you know, I've been like not feeling, you know, up to getting up and moving around too much and everything else, but I've been, you know, taking some Dramamine and trying to restore my equilibrium as much as possible.
Oh my, I know vertigo is not pleasant. I will equate it to sometimes if I do too many readings, and especially if there's a couple of really hard readings and the kind of people that fight you in their readings, I will get what's called ocular migraines. And you're sort of standing there, and it looks like you're on LSD because, like, you know, you're in this food store and the boxes are coming at you and moving back, and the world is moving, and you just have to stand there, close your eyes, and just sort of grip. I haven't had it in a while because I try to, like, pace things a little bit better.
Yeah,
but
well,
it really
not on wood, Cindy.
That is really, really unpleasant. So, you know, I can relate to, you know, the moving things that aren't moving. It's not pleasant.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's terrible. Or when I'm just, like, trying to sit still and then the walls are breathing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm on drugs. Like, I, you know.
No, it's one thing. And I'm not a big fan of being on drugs. So, for me, that's the ocular migraine. I'm like, I just close my eyes and hope it goes away.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, you know, I mean, it could have been a lot worse. So, you know, I'm just, like, I'm staying as positive as possible. And I'm just kind of, like, taking it day by day. And, like, you know, some days are better than others. So, you know. You got to all take it, you know, you got to take one thing at a time, so.
Exactly, and, you know, I don't know if you've been following the news story about the girl Samantha Garvey, who, her family was homeless this year, and that she is one of the students that were picked for a possible Intel scholarship, so it was picked up all over the media, and her teacher is my friend Rebecca Grella, another lesbian, by the way, Nicole, just in case you know. And she's a wonderful, wonderful teacher, and she worked for me years ago as a children's entertainer, and she's just wonderful. And they were on the Ellen DeGeneres show today because, it's, you know, they've been on every major show, and Samantha was given a $1,000 gift certificate from Whole Foods for her family,
awesome,
a $5,000 gift certificate for JCPenney's, and a $50,000 scholarship from AT&T. How is that for, like, rewarding?
Congratulations to her.
A reality teenager who's doing something good, not getting pregnant before her time, not doing drugs, not being crazy, just a good kid who persevered, you know, even being homeless. And just, I thought it was just a wonderful story, and that I'm so happy for her and her family, because now I don't know if you heard, but They're getting a home in Bay Shore. You know, both of her parents work. It's the sad story of homelessness in America. They're both working mm-hmm. parents, but they got in a car accident in December or January, and they couldn't work for a while, and that's how they couldn't pay their rent. It only takes Long Islanders and Americans are sometimes just a few weeks away from being homeless, and that's pretty much what happened. So because
especially when you're living check to check like that, I mean, that's definitely a difficult situation. You know,
right,
I mean,
and because
some families
are
running such a tight budget that you know, one day out of work could make or break your entire month, let alone, you know, any kind of significant loss of work and you know, loss of time.
Right, but especially because most people, if, you know, the mother's like, I think, a nurse's aide, and the father, you know, is a dispatcher for a taxi company. These are jobs you don't get sick days. So if you don't work, you don't get paid. And it's really resonated with people because it's the face of homelessness in America. It is working people, you know, and all of us fear as Americans that we could land homeless or bag people. So it resonated with people, but it also was a story of hope. And they've been offered a house on Long Island that's part of the ones that are offered to people who do work. You know, it's not like they don't work. And so it was just, you know, very and pets, you know, her pets were all in shelters, and people, you know, got the pets out of the shelters, and it's just really, it is a wonderful story. So I wanted to share that, you know, little miracles
finally
happen.
A story that's good.
Right, and a positive story in that, you know, we have so many listeners who are always asking about their finances and they need a miracle. Once in a while, miracles happen, but if you notice, Samantha Garvey made the miracle. She studied hard. She worked hard. She's made that miracle, but she wasn't sitting there, you know, hoping, praying, but not doing anything to make a miracle. So that's the moral of this story. God helps those who help themselves, and that's for sure. Well, I know we have a lot of callers, so you want to jump into the very first person who's been waiting a long time. I think it's Maryland with the 410.
Yeah, the 410 area code, just so you know that we're speaking to you. The last four digits are 2722. Let's see who's waiting for us over there, Cindy, shall we?
Sure.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, my name's Maria.
Hi, Maria, and you are calling from Maryland?
Yes, very good.
Okay, good. That's not my psychic ability. It's just that, you know, after a while you start seeing the same area codes. We get a lot of Maryland callers here.
I know. That's funny, though.
We love that. And so would you like to share with us your question or something that, you know, you need insight into? You know, just tell us what's on your mind today.
Yes, absolutely. I wanted to know if you saw anything developing between myself and a man named Jason.
Okay, good question. Now, you actually, you know, to start off your reading, the first card I got was a card called The World. And the World card indicates a 5-year period in which anything you want is yours. And so that's a pretty good card. Jason definitely has feelings for you. He's been hurt. You know that. Are you familiar with his story? Okay, because, you know, the reason that the hurt comes up is because people who have been wounded, who weren't commitment phobic, so weren't afraid of love at one point, sometimes become really afraid of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always pay for the crimes of others, you know. And at this point, you know, you've known him a while now.
Since September, but I don't know him very well. I just know that there's a mutual attraction.
Right, and it's going to be up to you to kind of, like, let him know how you feel, because he's a little bit, you know, afraid of rejection. He's a little bit afraid to make that move. And, again, he's afraid. So, you know, we all have to sort of overcome our fears that just because someone doesn't come to the plate doesn't mean it has anything to do with us whatsoever. And, you know, he has been hurt. And, you know, the outcome looks, like, good to the extent that you need to know whether this is going to go anywhere or not at this point, because, you know, you're thinking about him a lot. The true nature that he has is that he really wants a relationship. And if you can sort of let him know that that's what you feel and kind of be the one who invites him into your world first, it would be good. He's not fully over the past, though. That's one thing that's showing up here. And, you know, he admires you. I'll tell you how he feels about you. He admires your independence. He admires that, you know, you're a woman who can certainly take care of herself and be that sort of independent woman. But ultimately, he is a pretty family-oriented type guy. Are you getting that?
From what I know of him, yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, what he always wanted was a happy family life, this guy. So, you know, moving it forward, it looks like you've got your work cut out for you because he is fearful. But, again, we can't just, you know, pine for people without taking it forward because after a while, you know, you don't want to stay just friends too long because when we do that, sometimes it's hard. You know, if you become his best bud, it's hard to become his lover, you know, if you stay too long in the best bud stage. So take that sort of the moment to go forward. And are you looking for a relationship now yourself?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, good.
With this person, but.
No, that's what I'm saying. And once he makes up his mind, he really flies with things. You know, he's very strong-willed. He'll, you know, that would be, you know, something that once it went forward, it would probably move at a pretty fast speed. It's just that getting it going is going to be the problem. So, again, you know, have you told him how you feel at all?
No, I started to drop hints, but I'm not.
And remember, people aren't mind readers, and most people aren't psychic, although we all have psychic abilities. So sometimes people, you know, looking back over my life, I realized there were times when people had liked me, and you know, it took me 20 years to go, oh, that, yeah, they liked me. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, sometimes if people are shy or they've been hurt, or, you know, especially if a person might think you're, you know, he might think you're a little out of his league. That you have to be the one that lets him know, you know, in more than just dropping hints, you know, even to ask him, you know, for, you know, to go somewhere with you or start opening up that door that it's more of a date than just a friendship.
Mm-hmm. That would
because it looks positive.
In other words,
he
wouldn't
what?
Turn that down. He would be receptive to that.
Oh, yeah, he looks like he would be receptive, absolutely. Again, because he's a commitment phobic, there's that little bit of chance he may say no, but it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with he's afraid. And again, you know, if he kind of says yeah, but doesn't give a specific date, you know, be a little patient for a week or two and then, you know, sort of ask him again and see what he says because you don't want to fall in love with a commitment phobic because,
well,
you know.
That's what I'm worried about. I'm wondering if we started going out, would he never commit?
No, because which card shows here is that once he sort of is in a relationship, he is in. Do you know what I mean? The problem is that he was that kind of guy that sort of committed, got involved with relationships and wasn't afraid, and then he got hurt. So now he's just gun-shy kind of thing. But it looks like if he took that step into the relationship, he would, you know, be a person who would put his 2 feet in. So, again, you're dealing with fear. There's a lot of fear in love. You know, people get afraid, I'm going to get hurt, I'm going to get rejected. But a lot of that is narcissism, and most of us don't like to think of ourselves as narcissists, although everybody has to have a healthy dose of it. It is a form of self-love. But narcissism, when we're so afraid to ask somebody, and, you know, if they say no or they reject us, like the world's going to come to an end. It isn't going to come to an end, but if we all sit in our own little shells afraid to be hurt, how is a relationship ever going to move forward? Somebody has to be the one who says, oh, I might get hurt, I might look like the fool, but at least you would be rewarded if he doesn't come around. The universe will know you're serious and bring you in alignment with another soulmate. So don't be afraid. I mean, he cares about you. He likes you. He thinks you're out of his league, by the way. So,
wow.
That means that, you know, here you are, you know, you're a nice, you're kind of shy girl thinking, oh, my God. And this is a guy thinking, oh, my God, she's my dream girl. You know, she's smart, she's pretty, she's fun, she's everything. So, you know, think about that. You know, if he thinks you're out of the league, you have to be the one to let him know that you care about him. And that would make all the difference in the world. So, you know, the odds look pretty good here. I mean, if it were personally me, I'd go after it. Okay, I'm just telling you, I would go after it. You know, there's sometimes, and I don't know how often if you've ever listened to the show, I'll tell people, look, this guy is never going to come around. And sometimes they don't believe me, and they'll call like a year later and say, oh, my God, he still didn't come around. I'm not surprised. You know what I mean?
Right.
You take that gamble. In this case, you know, he has a grandma who passed away, and basically what she's saying, when he puts his 2 feet in, it's in. So,
can you ask her how long it would take before he would commit permanently? If I moved forward, I'd like to get married.
It doesn't
look like
a long time. It may be a few months, only because he fell for the princess that became the beast. There was a girl that he had no idea what he signed on for her. So he's going to wait for you, the princess, to become the beast. Do you know what I mean? So it's usually around the 3 month mark where people can't hide their true nature. You know, it's all honeymoon for 3 months, and then, oh my God, who the hell did I wake up next to? So he's known you enough times to see that you're pretty consistent in your behaviors, and that, you know, that's why it was good that you let this friendship be here for, you know, the last 6 months or whatever. But now you have to move it forward. Do you know what I mean?
Would he be phobic to committing to a marriage? Because that's what he's getting out of now.
Well, again, it's a pretty bad divorce, too, because she's a bitch. And, I mean, from what I could see in this card, she is a real crazy bitch. And that's coming from a friend of his who died, and I'm not sure who that is. But he said she's a crazy bitch, and he had no idea who she was. And so, you know, any of us who have fallen for the prince or princess that becomes the beast, we're wondering, am I nuts? How did I not see it? Well, because people lie, and they lie a lot, and they tell us what we want to hear, and we're good people, and we want to see the good in people, and we forgive too easily and too often. But he needs a little bit to kind of, you know, get out of it. I need to tell you, you're a person who's helping him realize there are other fish in the sea. So that's really, you know, helpful to me. He may also want to be more through the divorce before he starts something.
Right.
Which is a possibility, but you've been brought to him to help him break away from her because she's a manipulator.
Oh, wow.
And
okay. I didn't know anything
about
her.
He's a nice guy, so he's not bad-mouthing her. But another man, boy, he would have a litany of complaints and crimes committed against him. So, you know, understand that he went into that marriage fully expecting till death do us part. Fully committed to it. He was a guy who went in with full commitment. And so the divorce is not something he wanted originally, but he has no choice but to get out of this at this point. So, you know, again, he's a little jaded on the whole thing of marriage right now, but that would change as he got to know you.
Okay.
Well, good luck. You got to let us know what happens.
I can't be waiting to call back and say you were right.
I'm going to say a prayer for Jason because the powers that be want him to move forward from her, and he probably is. He's a very loyal to a fault person, so he feels even guilty to move on from her. But so you've been brought in alignment with him for him to feel deep feelings for you, which makes it a lot easier for him to do what he has to do.
Okay. Wow.
Good luck to you, and thanks for sharing your little story with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you, ladies.
Good luck to you.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, boy, Nicole, we've heard these stories before, right? You know, the
oh,
good
my
people
God, we so have.
Have been so slaughtered that, unfortunately, they're becoming closet commitment phobics, and we need am I right? You've got they've been scraping off the floor.
You've got
but,
people that are so commitment phobic, and they don't even realize that they're commitment phobic.
Exactly.
You know, because they've just been hurt so much that it's almost like a natural defense. That literally has become like an epidemic of people, you know, looking, you know, that want to be loved, but that don't make themselves accessible to love.
And what was recently channeled to me, and I tried to point it out in the last reading, is it is narcissism. You've been hurt. Get over it. You're punishing every person who's loving and kind and being brought to you who did not slaughter your heart. And think about that. You've got this really nice person liking you, but you won't open your heart to him or her because you've been hurt. That's narcissistic. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
Get over yourself, you know. And
well, you know what? I was reading a book about Kabbalah the other day, and it's amazing though because there are levels of narcissism that people don't even realize exist, you know. And in one of the parts of it, you know, And this is so true for a lot of people that call in, you know, because, I mean, how many times have you heard this story, Cindy, you know, like, you know, oh, I want to find love, but I'm so shy, I'm so this, I'm so that, you know, I mean, even like people that are normally shy don't really feel for them too much because, you know, who are they thinking about while they're being in their little shy box in a social situation? They're thinking about themselves. It's like it's almost an unheard form of narcissism where it's you know, they're constantly second guessing who they are and they don't put themselves in a position to allow anybody to love them, let alone, you know, let alone find a lasting connection there.
And that's a very, very astute observation because as a children's entertainer, it was the shy child who I began to realize is the one I'm afraid of. That's the one who, when I come in as a clown or a character and this child's going to start screaming, they're afraid, and they're going to carry on and make a scene. Meanwhile, they're shy. They're making the biggest scene in the whole place. It's a form of passive-aggressive behavior to me, and that they didn't care that they were ruining the party, like the kid, you know? So shyness is one of those things. Examine that shyness is a form of narcissism. It's a form of really overly protecting yourself from being hurt. And most people do have a level of shyness. We all have that. But, you know, if you overcome your shyness because you realize other people are being awkward in a situation and you extend your hand to those other people and bring them into a circle. So it's very astute to point out that people who, you know, everybody's sitting there waiting for somebody to come across the room and talk to them. Why can't you go across the room and talk to somebody yourself? So if you're not having love in your life, examine that. Possibly you're too, you know, you personally are too fearful or your own fears are keeping people at bay. Because sometimes people, especially women who are really beautiful and men who are handsome, if you're shy, other people are thinking you're a snob. There's no way in hell somebody's thinking a hunky guy is shy. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's something that we need to keep in mind, that people are not
quite
sure.
Even in social situations, it's a way of drawing attention to you. You know, if you're in a room full of people who are outgoing, you know, who are all mingling and they're absorbing, you know, the energy of the room, so to speak, and you've got that one shy person, now not only are you thinking about you, you're also thinking about what other people think about you. You're thinking about what other people could be saying about you. And then everybody in the room is sitting there like probably at some point going over to you, hey, why don't you come over here? Oh, no, 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 that's okay. I'm fine where I am. Hey, why don't you come over and do this? Oh, no, no, that's okay. I'm fine where I am. You know, and now you're drawing even more attention to the point of where other people are trying to draw you out of that shyness, and you just don't go.
Well, it's when Shana just had this crazy boyfriend, and we went to a wedding, and it was 300 people, and this guy was like socially beyond shy. But at the wedding, it was freezing, mind you, outside, like zero. He stood outside the wedding, freezing the whole time, and every person, all 400 people, knew who the nut job was out there. And I'm saying, if you're shy, why are you standing out, drawing attention that 400 people notice you? Why wouldn't you just sit at your seat in the center of the party and nobody would have noticed you? So it makes me wonder sometimes, is that shyness or is that I need so much attention, I need everybody to notice me? I mean, it was like, made no sense to me. It really made no sense to me. Every person asked us, what's the matter with him? Now, that was 400 people getting attention. So, you know, sometimes we need to get out of our own little box and kind of say, if I want love, then I have to be an invitation to love. I have to be a person who makes other people feel comfortable. I have to be a person who doesn't just think about me in the room, thinks about, well, there's other shy people here, and there's other people who are feeling just like I'm feeling. We're not unique. If you're shy and feeling shy at a particular situation, I'm sure other people are there too, you know, and again, that's what I've been writing, and actually I lost yesterday's work in my computer. I don't know what happened. The whole thing just disappeared, and it was very upsetting, but it was about the levels of narcissism, by the way.
Oh, jeez. That's so funny.
Well, we do have somebody you screened, and who is this person in?
We've got several people screened, Cindy. I've been kick-ass in the screening department tonight, so I'm going to try to get as many people as I can on tonight. So here we go. We're going to cruise over to Long Island, New York, and we are going to speak to Danielle. And basically, Danielle is just looking for an overview, Cindy. She just wants to know what is going to be in store for her in 2012. So let's have a little combo with Danielle, shall we?
Okay, great.
Hello, Danielle. You're on the air.
Hey, Cindy, what's going on?
Oh, hi, Danielle. Oh, wonderful things. And I love when people call around the new year to see what their 2012 year will hold for them, because it's always a great question. You're becoming quite intuitive yourself. Are you aware of that?
As of what's coming up for me?
Yes.
I'm noticing it a little bit.
try to be in touch with your psychic abilities, because you do have them. You might call it your gut instincts. This is a very, very good opening of a very good five-year period for you. It's a year of psychological strength. You well on your way to making money. Are you still in school now?
Yes.
Okay, because you're getting yourself in that position to make very good money in the future. There's a nice guy here. Let me explain who this guy is. He's very smart, very smart. And it will kind of change your whole life. Are you ready for a change?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, and you've sort of made peace with some of the past things that have happened to you with guys?
Yes, I just broke up with my boyfriend about 6 months ago, 4 years. He cheated on me, so.
It was time to throw the bum out, huh?
Yeah, letting it go.
Your card, you know, sometimes I wish we were Skyping this, because you have the Tower card, which is a card in which you got to throw out people that, you know, are not loyal to you and change your life. And then there's the stabbed in the back card across from it. So, you know, you were hurt by him. But I need you to kind of, you know, learn the lessons that God would want you to learn from that relationship. And part of it is that there were red flags all along that maybe you weren't noticing. Are you getting that now?
Yes, I'm beating myself up over it that I didn't realize.
Okay, we're not going to beat ourselves up, because you're young, and if you learn this lesson when you're young, hooray, your life will be 1,000 times simpler and better. People lie, and they lie a lot. And the good people of the world have been brainwashed to see the good and believe that people are telling the truth, and they don't trust their gut that keeps saying something's not kosher. That's why this is a year of you trusting your gut. If your gut tells you something's rotten in Denmark, it is. And for you, you know, letting that go. This guy, you'll probably meet him in school or going about your business. What school are you going to now?
FIT.
Okay. You know, just going about your business, you should meet him. So very smart, loyal, very trustworthy. You needed to stand on your own two feet a little bit without a guy. It's important, because then we don't make excuses for abuse. Are you getting to like yourself now? I mean, stop beating yourself over the head. You're not the first woman who's been fooled, you know, and you won't be the last. But this is a year of you feeling strong and you coming to that place of self-love where you love yourself enough. And have you been in touch with the anger that you should feel at him as well?
Yes, I have, a little
okay.
too much.
I want you to love yourself the way you would love your own daughter. It's not okay if someone cheats, because, you know, they could bring us venereal disease, and you're not inviting that into your life. Do you know what I'm saying? So think about how you have a right to be angry at him, and then, like, kind of let it go, because be grateful that the longer you would have stayed with him, the more likely you would have married him.
Right.
And this would have come out sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just letting go of that. But this is a wonderful five-year period opening up for you. Love, good career, very psychologically strong year. No negative wake-up calls here. You have a very, very good year ahead of you. So just...
Good to hear.
This guy is circling kind of near you, so you need to pay attention.
I haven't met him yet.
Do you like someone now?
Yes, a
is
couple months.
Is he smart?
Ago. He has his master's degree.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. And are you dating him?
No, I had spoken to him a couple months ago, and then, like, we just stopped texting. I don't know why he stopped texting me. We had plans to go out, but he had work or something like that, so just never happened. But
if I were you, I would pursue that. He may be a commitment phobic, as we talk about all the time, but there was a potential for that guy, too, so... See what happens in texting him and asking him again. If he kind of blows you off, move on. But usually the universe is a little reluctant to bring another guy if this guy could still resurface.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I were you, I would text him when I got off, you know, the phone here with us on the air and kind of say, whatever happened to that date?
Well, I did. I texted him a few weeks later. I was like, oh, hey, just want to see how you're doing. Haven't heard from you in a while, because I had met him at work. I'm a waitress at a catering hall, and he was one of the DJs, and we got to talking and everything like that. So I don't know what happened.
And that he never responded to that text?
Nope. I mean, when I was he texted me first, like, he got my number that night, and then we were going back and forth, and as soon as I texted him 2 minutes later, he'd right away text me back, and then out of nowhere, we had plans for the following week to go out for coffee, and then he's like, all right, yeah, we'll play it by ear, I'll let you know, and then that was it.
Okay, but when you now it's like one more chance for this guy, but, you know, that kind of thing, you know, in my opinion, is that love is a gift, and when you see somebody that you want and they want to have coffee with you, you want the kind of guy who's like, you know, 2 hours early to make sure his car doesn't break down and waiting at the corner for 2 hours because he's so excited to see you. So you could text him one more time, but my feelings are he's probably...
I wouldn't chase.
Yeah, I'm saying, it's that kind of thing that it's not a lack of liking you because he really did. But, you know, maybe he doesn't want a relationship. And
right.
If he's with you, he might fall in love and not be in control. You know, some people are just so afraid of that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, keep it in mind, if anybody ever, you know, asks for coffee to you and does that again, just think, you know, okay, I'm giving you a chance, but if you're not, like, wanting to meet me, then they're either commitment phobics or they're afraid of love or they're, you know, they're just not nice people because, you know, that's something that really you want a man who can't wait to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what you want?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, and hold out for that. Again, he could be a little bit of a player, so...
That's what I picked up on a little bit.
All right, so of course if he falls in love, then he can't be a player anymore, and maybe he's not ready to stop being a player.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the guy that I saw in the cards, I don't think you've met him yet. It doesn't appear to be, because it's facing into the future. Again, this guy was brought to you. You had to see what was there. You had to pursue it. You did what was right. You text, you saw. But again, you know, I've always used it as a barometer. If a guy says, oh, I can't, you know, he's pursuing you for like 6 months, and then, you know, he finally asks you for coffee, and you say, yeah, and then he says, okay, I'll call you tomorrow, and he doesn't. I always say, okay, commitment phobe, you blew it. And I don't give him another chance because my feelings are, you should be so happy that I said okay. You know, and that's something, you know, that comes from a place of, you know, self-love and knowing that, you know, even if it didn't work out, if you tell somebody you're going to have coffee with them, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck to you, Daniel. You do have very good cards. If I were you, I'd relax and enjoy 2012 because it should be the time of your life.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I'd like
much.
To have a waitress like you at a catering hall. You sound so sweet.
Oh, thank you.
Doesn't she? She sounds wonderful. Good
Absolutely.
Luck to you, Danielle, and have a happy, happy 2012.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye. Don't you hate when people won't meet you for coffee when they say they're gonna?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, that's...
Well, you know, I mean, I got to be honest, too. You know, it's like when I met my girlfriend, you know, I mean, it was one of those things where it was kind of like, okay, fine, you know what, let's not do the whole phone thing. I mean, we had never met in person before, you know, we had actually exchanged numbers through, you know, a mutual friend, you know, and we texted a few times, you know, we had, just a couple conversations via text, and then it was like, you know what, like by the end of the day and everything, it was like, you know what, why don't we just go out for coffee, whatever. If you're going to be getting off work soon or whatever, I'm going to be off work at the same time. Let's go out for coffee. And you know what? By the end of that day, after just texting, you know, having a few conversations that day, we met up, you know, it didn't matter what time it was. We met up, you know, it was a completely neutral territory, you know. We sat down, we had coffee, we had a great conversation. You know, we hung out for a couple of hours out of that. And, you know, and that was the first experience there, you know, and that was getting things off on the right foot. Because the moment you say, oh, yeah, let's get together for coffee. Oh, no, I can't. Oh, I forgot to call you. Sorry. And you start making excuses as to why you're not seeing that person. Obviously, you have no intention of really meeting that person. Or you're just treating the situation so nonchalantly that it's not important enough for you to meet that person, you know. So I personally just wouldn't tolerate anybody that was going to that was going to kind of toy with me that way. It's like, hey, listen, I'm worth it. If you don't see that I'm worth it, then good luck, you know, looking wherever you're looking, but you're not going to find me again. So, you know, good luck with that.
Right. And that's a whole thing. It's just one of these things that, you know, and if we could all stop thinking it's something to do with us. Because for the most part, people don't reject us. They reject a higher love we may be offering them, and they're just not ready for it. They're just not ready. And so
a lot of people aren't.
And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. You're not pretty enough, smart enough, handsome enough, don't make enough money. It's most of the time none of those things. It's that, you know, if there's a soulful connection and you're wondering, God, we were so connected, why wouldn't the person want to see me? Think about the fact that they may be afraid to fall in love. They may be afraid of the commitment and the responsibility and the growing up that, you know, love demands. So, again, you know, once we overcome some of our own, like, feelings of rejection and abandonment and it's about me and it's all my fault, life gets a lot easier. You know, 99% of stuff isn't about us. It doesn't have anything to do with us, you know. My life
exactly.
is so liberating since I realized that, being a professional entertainer for years to hear, and one day she's too fat, she's too thin, she's too pretty, she's too ugly, she's too smart, she's too stupid. I began to realize, boy, I can't be all that in one day, could I? It's not about me. It's about the projections of that person's insecurities upon me. And it made me really get, like, not taking things personally. And it's a lot easier. Life is a lot easier that way.
Yep.
Well, my dear,
I
see you've been, like, screening. Where are we going to go now? Where in the world are we going now?
I told you I was a mad woman today. All right, so we're actually going to go over to New Hampshire, and we're going to speak to Valerie. And Valerie wants, just like Danielle, she wants an overview of what's going on in 2012. But she's looking specifically for love. She wants to see, you know, what you see around her for a new love in 2012.
Okay, good question.
I love love questions.
Me too.
Hello,
me
Valerie.
Love.
You are on the air.
Hi there.
Hi, Valerie. Very good question from New Hampshire. We love
yeah.
that.
Thank
good
you.
Question.
You.
I,
and, you know,
sure.
Well, I'll let you go ahead. Go
no,
ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm good.
Okay. What I'm seeing here is, have you, like, let go of the last relationship? There's a little bit of a mourning period here and kind of an end of a relationship.
Oh, God, that was so long ago.
Okay, and you've let it go, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and there was a lot of lessons in the ending of that relationship, and it was a significant one. And, you know, it's now letting that go. And this is a very, very good period opening up. But your spirit guides are asking me, are you ready? Are you ready? Because when they bring the soulmate love, if you run, they're not going to bring you another one anytime soon. So it's you spending some time looking inward and really deciding that this is what you want. You know, not afraid of getting hurt, not afraid of making mistakes. Because,
well, I mean, everybody's afraid of a little bit of getting hurt. I mean, I don't know a single human being who wouldn't say that they weren't.
Exactly.
But, you know, but and
again, if you don't examine the fact that, you know, sometimes we have to take a risk and, you know,
right.
everything comes with some price to pay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because it looks as if this guy's been circling for a while and the universe hasn't quite brought him. Because they kind of need your okay about it. Because this is the kind of love that's going to change everything.
That's what I've been really asking for forever, for a very long time. And I don't know why they haven't brought him into my life sooner, because I'm not getting any younger.
Okay.
Not
and again,
getting any younger.
What's been channeled to me is the greatest love affairs are happening to women 40, 50, and over.
Right, but when you're in your 40s and you want a child more than life, you don't have a lot of time left.
Okay, and again, that's part of the fear. I see you crying that you're never going to be a mom.
Well, I mean, it's not a matter of crying. I mean, it's just literally a fact of I'm single, I'm 42, you know, most women either can't or don't have women after somewhere in their mid-40s, so I don't have a lot of time. Reality.
Okay, and again,
reality.
That's why now it has to be, if this love comes, this is what you want. And, you have been very specific that you want, you know, something that's a really good love. And this is the year you should be falling in love. It's a year of strength, love. I wouldn't worry about conceiving, because this is a very high soulmate. And if you just make love kind of regularly, the human species is sort of set up to reproduce. So regular intercourse is a way of keeping your body very fertile. So this guy is something that you would have that really hot charge with, because that's the relationship here. So this is good. You'd be a little bit of a fool to fall in love, and that's the card that I've gotten. And you have a grandma who passed away. Do you remember her? Do you remember your grandma who passed away?
Well, I have two of them. Most people at my at least have one that has, yeah.
This is your mother's mom. Do you remember her?
Yep.
Your mom's mom.
Yeah, I said yes.
Yeah, she's a person who's saying, can you see how hard it is to have a relationship? And kind of, there's a few forgiveness aspects here for your parents going on here. Have you forgiven them yet?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay, good. Because sometimes people, you know, they don't get married, they don't play the game, you know, because they don't want to be their parents, so they sort of don't do it at all. This is you really having this guy. He's going to be brought here. But there's a little bit of anxiety in your cards, as if, you know, this is going to change your life and this is going to be you having children. And, you know, sometimes if we're afraid that we don't want to do the things our parents have done, we may be afraid to become parents. We're thinking, oh, my God, I'm
going
to
be. Oh, my God, no. I wanted to be a parent since I was, like, 18.
Right.
I wanted
and you
to
would
be
a good.
Can't wait.
And, again, it's unusual for someone to have a wish since they're 18 and they're 42 and it hasn't come true. That's a long time to want something. So
yeah,
I would need you to look inward at perhaps some of your own fears. And sometimes it's just really afraid. We have kids. It's scary. What if something happens to the kids? What if something happens? It's a scary territory. But for you, love is coming. This guy is coming. And I also got the card of you being pregnant, so it's not like this can't happen. And again, as a high soulmate, doesn't take forever to, like, fall in love. You meet him, it's love, and it moves rather quickly. That's what you want here. And are you doing anything to manifest love, though?
Well, I try to get out. I've been, you know, set up. I've talked to different guys, and I know exactly what I'm looking for. I will take nothing less, and I've been asking and asking for this, and God and the universe has not brought it to me for years. I've been single, and every reader I've talked to says, oh, he's coming. Years later, there's nobody. So,
right, and this is a soulmate, but again, we can't hope and wish for love. That's not how we get it. We have to actually do, you know, go places where we can meet like-minded people and expand our circle of friends and keep that up, because this is a soulmate guy coming. I mean, a really good man, and there's you with a family. This looks like a very, very good year for you. But again, the laws of attraction, manifesting something has to... There can't be any mixed messages. So if you would just, you know, kind of, you know, just humor me on this one. Is there some hidden fear that you have about children and a soulmate?
No, not at all. Oh, my God, no. I would love to be a mom. Everybody who knows me knows that. Everybody who knows me says, you're going to be a phenomenal mom. And my response is, yes, I know.
And that's important. And don't worry about your age, but it, you know, the age thing is just a way of getting you to say, oh, I gotta get out there and get this. But I got the soulmate card, I got the judgment card, which is a happy family. Anything you want is yours. So just go forward and, you know, just see it. You know, see yourself with that baby in your arms. You know, see yourself rocking that baby, and you know, see yourself with this, you know, ideal soulmate, because 2012 should be a very, very good year for you. Very, very good year. And again, your generation, if too many of the men, too many of the women are sitting watching TV all day long and iPadding and computers, and not actually out there looking. I mean, 30% of your generation isn't married. it's not like there's, it's not like you, the pool is small. There's, you know, 30, you know, there's a lot of guys that aren't married in your age group. But
well,
again,
yeah, but a lot of them have already been married and single now. I don't want somebody who's ever been married because I don't believe in divorce, really, except two reasons.
Okay, then that might be right there why you're not getting love.
Well,
that's
being
a very judgmental
what I want,
statement.
Though.
But that's a very judgmental statement that you don't believe in divorce. And
right.
So God maybe have a wonderful divorced man for you, one who, you know, married somebody who was really awful or didn't work. And, you know, if you're going to say that, you're limiting, you know, who God can bring. And, again, you know, divorce is, you know, marriage is not just that piece of paper that you sign. It's heart, soul, mind, body, committed love. And I don't think God would tell you you made your bed, sleep in it, and stay with an abusive person.
What I said is there are two reasons.
And if you have a judgment saying you'll never believe in divorce, I will tell you this much. You have a fear of marriage because if you get, you can your whole life say, well, I never got divorced. Well, if you never get married, you never get divorced. So that judgment may be what's keeping you from having a love coming. Because there's a chance you're going to get married, and you might turn around and marry the prince that became the beast, and you have no choice but to divorce him.
Well, what I was trying to say is the two reasons I think you do get a divorce, and the only two reasons, if somebody's beating you or somebody's cheating on you, beating and cheating, that is it. You stay in your marriage. Otherwise, you if you have to fight for a month to find a happy medium, you do what you work at your marriage, and you don't just walk away. I'm very adamant about that.
And again, that may be your fear, because really, if I went in thinking that, I'd be scared out of my mind, because it's a really harsh position to take. And I mean, well, we all go into marriage wanting it to last. There's no doubt about that. You don't go in thinking, I want a divorce. But if you, we've had too many lifetimes in which we have been stuck in marriages we couldn't get out of, and that might, that position might be making you afraid. And it might also be terrifying people who meet you, because that's a pretty judgmental statement. And there's a lot of divorced people, and part of it is,
well, also,
you know,
also
just
think of it this way, though. You know, I mean, and it's very, very great that you firmly believe in fighting for your marriage. You know, I think that everybody
absolutely
should fight for their marriage once they make that. You know. But what if this perfect person for you just wasn't perfect for somebody else? What if it had nothing to do with cheating? What if it had nothing to do with being, but what if, you know, it was just a loveless marriage where they just couldn't find that happy medium? And what if he put 110% into that marriage and he was with somebody that wouldn't put in the same, and through years of fighting chose to walk away? I mean, that's not him not trying to make that marriage work. That's him needing to find his soulmate in the person he's destined to be with, not the person that he maybe prematurely chose, or maybe that was only a soulmate for a certain number of years before it was time for him to move on to his next soulmate. What if that next soulmate is you, but you're not keeping your mind open enough to say, well, you know what? Your marriage and the way that you would like your marriage to be, is that you fight to the end, and that you know, you never let that love die. But maybe somebody else's reality is maybe that love did die, and maybe they caught up to it before it was, you know, when it was too late. And maybe his vow to himself is to be better the next time and to have that perfect marriage with somebody who believes as he does. And he might have the same ideology as you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what if that one mistake or that one thing in his life is what's stopping you from meeting him and yours?
Exactly, and that's something that examines.
I mean, that's
that
not to say that just because you hit hard times that you got to run. I mean,
no,
absolutely
not.
You make that commitment, you stay with that commitment.
Right.
You
right.
know, and you know, you do 110. You know, you give in 100%. You know, you give that person every chance. But if you're in a no-win situation, or if the other person doesn't want to meet you 50-50, if the other person doesn't want to meet you 25, you know, to your 75, you know,
right.
then you're in a situation where you need to take action. And sometimes that action does lead you to walk away. It doesn't make him a bad husband. It doesn't make him a bad person. It just means that his situation wasn't working out, and maybe the next time he's going to get it right. And maybe with a partner like you, who's as devoted as he would be, maybe you guys will get it right together, and maybe that's what was meant to happen. You know, but to close yourself off from an entire, you know, from an entire, you know, group of males, you know, you definitely have to remove that blockage, because I could tell you 100%, I was in a relationship for 10 years, okay? I mean, we had love, but for the most part, it was loveless. You know, it was constantly either her coming at me and me not giving, or me going at her and her not giving. You know, it was a very, very troubled relationship that took 10 years before finally I said, you know what, enough is enough. And where I looked at her and I made her say, you know what, we've been doing this, so we've been on this merry-go-round for 10 years. And it's time that we get off the ride now and we move on to something else. And if it's not going to be on the same ride, then that's okay. Then we wish each other the best. And eventually that's what had to happen. But after 10 years, you can't say that we didn't try.
Right. And the only reason that we're bringing this up is that if you really are a person who thinks, if I got married, I'd never get divorced, that's
right.
A pretty hard thing to live up to. And the only way that you may be able to live up to that is by never being married. So if I were you, I'd kind of go in there, you know, examining how the judgment may be really keeping you from finding the love that you want. Because there's usually a block. There's some block. And again, you know, if we've judged people who are divorced, God usually has a way of teaching us. It's not our job to judge. And, you know, again,
I don't think they're bad people. I mean, I don't like think like, oh, you're horrible, but I just, you know, I prefer someone who is, you know.
But that is really, you might find that the person who was, some of the people who could have possibly been brought in alignment to you were married, people that had been married. You may have passed by certain things without realizing it. So, again, just be a little bit open if he's married, if he has children, if he has that. Judge him for who he is rather than for the circumstances. And, you know, you might find it opens your heart and it opens you up. And because, again, there are a lot of people that have been married. There are people that haven't been married. But most of the people who haven't been married by the time they're 42 are commitment phobics. They're massive commitment phobics. So you're opening yourself to men who may never want to commit, may never want to be there. So, again, you're limiting your pool to, like, smaller and smaller numbers, and you're down to, like, 2% of the population. It's hard to find a soulmate if your pool gets smaller and smaller. So, you know, again, just think about it a little bit. I do see a man coming. Unfortunately, I did see he has kids. So, again, if that's the case and you don't want it, you may find yourself just saying, oh, no, I can't date you. And, you know, the man that I saw does have kids. So I don't know if you're going to, you know, throw out the love of your life because he's been married before. And, again, if you really want a single guy, then, you know, that's something that keep in mind. It may be a harder to find, and really, if you want, that's your ideal soulmate. I'll, you know, let's pray God will bring it. But that's the only obstacle I see standing in your way, really.
And you know what? Also, look at it this way: if you were looking out at the horizon, but you have like somebody like in front of you, okay, mm-hmm. like let's say with like a really like big hat, where mm-hmm. you can't see around, you know, what you can't see the horizon, you can't see what everybody else is seeing because you've got this blockage in front of you. You know, if all you need to do is remove that blockage just to see everything else that's ahead, you know, I mean, isn't it worth maybe taking the chance of just removing that blockage? Because you know what? For removing that blockage, you just might get introduced to somebody who's never been married that fits exactly what you want. But all you needed to do was remove that veil where you're judging something, you know, something that happened previous in somebody's past. Maybe all you got to do is remove the veil and you're going to get what you want anyway.
Right,
you know,
it's true. In some ways, it's because our judgments usually come to bite us in the ass. Anything I've ever judged that I'd never do, I'd never be that, I'd never do that. Even people who say they'd never hit their kids, they never scream at their kids, God has a way of giving us a kid that, man, you want to kill them. And so I try not to make judgments because, in all honesty, anything I've ever judged, I have proven to be 10 times worse than the person I judged. I have proven to be, you know, I judged my father for being a maniac. I've had my share of being a maniac. Do you understand? I've had my share of not being a nice person. I've had my shares. And so sometimes it's just our judgments. You know, and you're a kind person. I know your judgment's not coming from, you know, any place else, but this is your true belief, and you're a very nice person. But
Thank
even
you.
Our nice people judgments, sometimes it can be wrong. That's all I'm saying. And that's why I stopped judging anything, because I said, God, don't give me any more examples where I can prove to be such a big jackass that it's frightening. You know, so let's remove. So just think about it. Just open your eyes a little bit. But you do have a good 2012, by the way. A very good 2012. And I think you would make an awesome mom, too. So we'll keep it. We need those awesome moms, you know. But I'll keep in mind, we all think we're going to be the world's best parents until we have kids. And my 31-year-old daughter, I keep telling her, it wasn't my intention to destroy your psyche. I did the best that I could.
Okay. And
I didn't start out trying that, you know what I mean? I did the best I could, you know.
Right.
So since I've had my own daughter, I've been kinder about my parents and what they did to me, because, you know, sometimes it's just a lot of stress, economics, children, marriage. Life is stressful. Life is hard, you know, and it's not easy. But you have to call us and let us know, because Mr. Wonderful's around the corner for you.
Oh, I definitely will let you know, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I've been told, you know, that somebody was coming in. I mean, and I really haven't even met anybody. I mean, I'm a very friendly, it's not like I go out and stand in the corner like you were talking about earlier, you know. I'm very easygoing, friendly, I have a good heart, I'm loving, and it, you know, and it's like, oh, geez, I'm pretty. I'm maybe not a beauty queen from a magazine.
No, but from your cards, you are extremely attractive woman. There's no doubt about that here. And again, just, you know, a little bit, because really when you say a judgment like that, you scare off people. Because people start to think, oh, my God, I'm never going to be perfect enough. You know what I'm saying? Oh, God, she wants a perfect person. And, you know, unfortunately, most of us have to relive our parents' marriages. And most people's parents' marriages have been a disaster.
Uh-huh.
So in reliving our parents' marriage, we're always trying to prove we would never do that. We sit and say, oh, if I were married, I'd never fight. If I were married, I'd never cheat. If I were married, I'd never do this. I'd never do that. I'd know how to fix him. And some of that comes and gets us in our relationships. But if you've ever had a relationship, and I could see that you did, in which you loved somebody and it didn't work, the only difference was you didn't marry him.
Right.
I mean, that is in some ways the same thing. You know, you go through that where it starts out good and it somehow goes somewhere different. And the problem with people is most of the time we marry people we don't know very well. And that's why you want to be sure you're older now. Your chance of marrying somebody you divorce is less anyway, because you know yourself better. When you marry when you're 20, you don't know what you want. And,
right.
You know, I married too young. I married when I was 21, and I stayed married 29 years because I was determined to stay married, but I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't have chosen him when I was 53. I wouldn't have chosen him when I was 24. I mean, it was something that, you know, you think you know someone, and you're married to them, and my husband was guilty of what I call fiscal infidelity, and it didn't matter how much money I made, we were broke. And there was a point in which I could have forgiven him cheating on me a hell of a lot easier than blowing millions of dollars that I made. I mean, and being bankrupt twice when all I did was work. There was a point where I said, I can't do this anymore. You can't keep losing my money in the stock market. You can't do it. And right. I had given him the warning once, and he did it again. I mean, fool me twice. I mean, when you work an 80-hour work week and your husband tells you you can't go to the dentist because I blew all the money.
Wow.
There's a point where you say, there are things that just really, when you work hard and it's blood, sweat, and tears, I was like, no, I can't do this anymore. And so even people who swear they'll never get a divorce and swear they'll never do that, there's a point where people push us too far. And that's why... You know, you're a very interesting person to come on the radio show, let me tell you. You're an interesting person, and I think a lot of people do think the way you do. But, you know, in an ideal world, there'd be no divorces.
Oh, but, I know. I mean, I know nothing is perfect, and I do know that there's no perfect person. I do know that. I don't think anybody is
perfect.
Because there's
no perfect person does not mean somebody's not perfect for you, though.
Right, exactly. And you have to call him. I mean... I'm betting on your horse, okay? That you're the one who's going to come to the finish line with that husband and that baby, okay? So, you know, we're waiting to hear from that woman from New Hampshire.
Okay.
And you tell us what he's about. And, you know, I'm so glad that you called in today because I think, you know, we've never really discussed this particular aspect of things and how people feel and what life does. But, you know, love is a lot harder than most of us ever imagined.
Oh, absolutely. No.
About the judgments and everything else, I can tell you from personal experience, mm-hmm. I was very, very judgmental with that relationship I was telling you about. It was, mm-hmm. you know, it was just a constant state of judgment, you know, on both of our parts. And you know mm-hmm. what? Once I removed that, you know, that person, once I got over that sickness, you know, mm-hmm. I can tell you right now that when I met my girlfriend, we met, and I said it earlier, from a mutual friend, okay?
Right.
And then as we spoke and as we got to know each other, we knew all of the same people. We had been circling around each other for years before we finally met, and it wasn't until I removed those blockages from my life and she removed blockages from hers that we actually came together and met, you know? And here I am, you know, I removed that blockage, and within weeks I had met her. You know, we dated for a while. We became exclusive after we dated for a while because we wanted to make sure that it was the right fit. And lo and behold, almost 2 years later, we're as happy as can be. So it is the truth,
great.
And it can happen.
Wow. Well, good. I'm so glad for you. That's awesome. Really great.
And you know
and,
what?
And by the way, I'm getting remarried on April 22nd this year. So I do still believe in the institution of it. So.
Right. And you know what? Let me say this. When I say, it's not that I'm belittling anybody who does remarry or who gets divorced. It's just for myself because I'm so strong about you don't walk away from your marriage unless those two reasons I said. I just feel like some people, you see people who are together for 15 years, they get married 6 months later, they're done altogether.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
course.
Wait a minute, why do people get involved?
Six minutes later.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So exactly.
Well, anyway,
we're at the end of our show, so we do certainly want to thank everyone for calling in and sharing our stories, and we can't wait to be hearing from you again from New Hampshire. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Good night, Nicole. Nicole, when you get a chance, can you email me your address so I can send you a wedding invitation, my dear?
Of course I will do this.
Okay, great. That's
all right.
So
and
important.
I want to say thank you to Valerie as well, because you know what? Valerie was very, very brave tonight, you know, because, you know, when you have that strong of a conviction, it's easy to say it behind closed doors, but she really opened herself up to our worldwide audience tonight. And you know what? It was a very, very courageous thing to come out and say what she feels. And, you know, although she feels that way for her, like I said, Valerie, just, you know, if maybe if you remove that veil and you just open up your mind that maybe the person that's perfect for you could make it work with you where he couldn't make it work with somebody else. If you just open up your mind, I'm telling you, sweetheart, you're going to be the next success story. And thank you so much for being as open and honest as you were tonight. I, you know, both Cindy and I'm sure I could speak for you on this, Cindy, really appreciate that.
Wow, so greatly said. Everyone have a wonderful week, and we will speak to you next week. Sorry if we didn't get to your calls. We'll try next week. Bye.
Bye.